Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
May I have your attention, please? Now, taking the airwaves on 97.3 The Fan, San Diego's own, Gwen and Chris.
Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
And Tony, since you're our resident swinger.
I'm not a swinger.
Did you just say that
I
he was our resident swinger?
Could you fix that, please?
And Chris Ello.
Some Italian people would say that's not really even Italian
food. I was just
about
to say.
Because real Italian pizza is just a thin slice.
Yes.
I just go crazy for a deep dish pizza.
Gwen and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Here's the kick of the pitch. Swing and a high fly ball to the infield. For the second baseman, Cabrera, backing up out of the outfield grass. He waits. He makes the catch. And a World Series Game 6 winning Curly W is in the books. The World Series is tied at 3 victories apiece.
And there will be a today. Welcome in to Gwen and Chris, Tony Gwynn Jr. AJ Cassavell here with me as my guest. How you doing, AJ?
What are we going to talk about today?
Oh, my gosh. There's like nothing to talk about, man. Matt Scraby, how you doing today?
Doing great, thank you.
Terrific baseball game yesterday. And it was terrific aside from the actual baseball
part. The game was fine.
The game was fine, right. We had a few TMZ moments, a lot of drama involved in it. And I think that's where we should start. I think that's where we should start. The biggest, I guess I would say, the biggest point of the game came, well, it seemed to be the biggest point at the time, when Trey Turner hits a swinging bunt down the third baseline, not really down the third baseline, kind of in between the mound and third baseline. Peacock fields it, pitcher from Houston throws it, it's up the line. And it looks like Trey Turner is safe because Gurriel loses his glove, the ball heads down the right field line, and everybody's moving and scoring and doing different things. The lead has gotten big. But hold up, Sam Holbrook, the home plate umpire, rules Trey Turner never established himself in the 40, what they call the 45, what's the exact
the 45 word? 45-foot lane.
45
I don't know what it is.
Lane.
It's halfway down to first base.
Never established himself in that lane. Therefore, he has interfered with the throw, and he is out. And pretty much all hell would break loose from here, AJ.
Yeah, and Sam Holbrook might have gotten the call right. And I think
I think he did get the call right.
Spirit of the game for Trey Turner to be ruled out there. But if you read the fine print in the rule book, it might have been correct, which just means to me it's just a bad rule. And it's been a bad rule for a long time, and I know you have some different thoughts on this, but I don't think he should have been called out in that spot just because, I mean, if he was interfering with the play, it was only minimally, and it didn't really have an effect in the way that Yuli Gurriel was. I mean, his wrong foot was on the base, and he wasn't fielding the ball correctly. The throw was a bad throw, and I think you're bailing out the defense more than anything else by calling him out there when, with any competent throw or competent first baseman, it's not even an issue.
All of that is true. I don't disagree with any of it. But by the letter of the law, I would say Sam Holbrook got that call correct. And here's the other thing. I said this to AJ before we came off there, and it's maybe because I'm left-handed. I've never had an issue getting into that lane. And I consider myself not nearly as fast as Trey Turner is at this point in his career, but I could move pretty swiftly, and I got my fair share of infield hits because of that. I don't understand what's the big deal of getting into that lane.
Well, in that spot, it's because he was trying to beat out the throw.
I understand that. You have 90 feet to work your way, and I'll give you the first six steps. I'll give you that.
I think the difference, though, with this play and some of the others that are similar, because we've seen this play happen before, is usually when you see it, it's a little tapper up the first base line, and the catcher has to throw it around the runner, or the pitcher has to throw it from that side of the bag. This was a ground ball toward third base, so it's a little different in that the pitcher has all sorts of a window to throw to first base, and he just happened to throw to the small he threw offline a little bit, just enough for Yuli Gurriel's glove to be in the wrong spot to get knocked off by Trey Turner. And so the rule is clearly not in place for plays like this one. It's in place for plays up the first baseline where the runner kind of has to get out of the way.
What makes you think that?
Because Trey Turner is just busting his butt down to get down to first base to beat out that throw.
What makes you think that rule is only for balls down the first baseline?
Because the rule's there because it's borderline impossible if the runner can run wherever he wants for the catcher or the pitcher if the ball's on the first base side of the bag to make that throw. But in this case, Peacock had every chance in the world to make a decent throw to first base, and he didn't make it. And like you said, the rule, I'm looking at the rule right now, rule 5.09A.
Everybody's going to know that rule by the end of the day.
They probably got the call right. The rule needs to be changed, but the spirit of the rule, it shouldn't have even come into effect last night if the Astros were competent defensively.
Meanwhile, the play goes under. Listen, this was the confusing part because it's not a reviewable play yet. They still had headphones on their head, and they didn't just have headphones on their head. They had them on for like 4 minutes and some change. So clearly, what is it that you're doing? Because it doesn't take that long. You just read the rule right there to us.
Yeah.
It didn't take 4 minutes and 25 seconds for you to read it. It didn't take 24 minutes and 25 seconds. So I'm trying to figure out what exactly was going on. Meanwhile, there's players waiting, and on the national side, there are some upset cats. Here's Trey Turner. Hot Mike's caught him in the dugout. Really giving the umpires the business.
The umpires here and those back in New York. You can see what Trey Turner's saying. Joe Torre is right here. Just ask him.
Sit down, try not to look up.
Trey Turner is hot at this point. Because I think he recognizes that this call is going to go against him ultimately. And he's basically yelling, why are we on these headphones or on these listening to New York right now trying to figure out what's going on when the head guy is sitting right here with his head down trying to hide? That was the point Trey Turner was trying to make, AJ.
Yeah, and we all knew that the play couldn't be reviewed, or at least I think after a little bit it became obvious that it wasn't really about that. It was about kind of checking on some other things. I think there was a protest involved or whatever, but it's not.
Right.
It came down to they couldn't overturn that call no matter how badly. I think as a fan sitting at home, you don't want Trey Turner to be ruled out for something kind of so minuscule for that to affect the scope of the World Series, and I think ultimately, thank God it didn't. Because that would be kind of a horrible way to end what's been a pretty good series up to this point. But that wasn't the issue with I think stopping the game for 4 minutes of the game was pretty. It only served to make the issue even tougher. And I credit Joe Torre for talking after the game, even if his explanation wasn't all that great.
Speaking of which, here's Joe Torre doing his best to try to explain this.
We're here with Joe Torre from Major League Baseball, Chief Baseball Officer. Joe, the play with Trey Turner, why was he called out?
Well, he was called out, Kenny, because he ran. There's a 45-foot restraining line where you're supposed to run as a base runner in between those lines. He ran to first base. That wasn't the call. The call was the fact that he interfered with Gurriel trying to catch the ball. He noticed the glove came off his hand. That's when Sam Holbrook called him out for basically interference.
Why isn't that play reviewable?
It's a judgment call, that's why. And there are no judgment calls. Like if it's somebody's in a rundown between first and second, and it's the same thing. If interference is called, it's a judgment, so there's no it's not reviewable.
Okay, you managed a long time. You managed in the World Series. Did you understand the Nationals' point of view?
I don't know about you guys, but that was tough to listen to. It was tough to listen to Joe try to explain that.
And it's a tough rule to explain.
And you're right, AJ, we should commend him because I don't know of any other league, maybe other than the NBA, that where they would have sent somebody out there to actually explain it as they did right there. And Joe did the best he could in a tough spot. Now, again, I'm not disagreeing that maybe there should be a rule change. But by the letter of the law, I believe Sam Holbrook got that call correct. Now, we can have the debate on if he should be making a call that affects the game that much, But if you're in his spot, your only recourse is to call it as the law says you're supposed to call it. In this case, I think he did that. Now, I think we're all on the same page. It's probably a pretty bad rule.
Yeah.
It just, especially for right-handers. As I said, I'm left-handed. Every swing I take, my momentum is taking me into that lane. I'm good to go. Right-handers, especially on a swing like that, where you're fooled a little bit out in front, your body's going to automatically be on the grass. I thought, honestly, Trey did such a good job being on the dirt as much as he was before he got to the base. But nevertheless, it just didn't work out for him. All right, we got to step away, take a break. We got plenty more. I mean, we actually still need to talk about Steven Strasburg's performance. We need to talk about the actual game itself. And there's a Game 7 today, by the way.
And what about where we're putting our bats after home runs?
Oh, my gosh.
That's another thing.
That was really the second TMZ topic was bat carries to first base. We got it all. Gwynn and Chris.
Swinging a high fly ball left field, sending Brantley back onto the warning track, at the wall, looking up, and it is gone! Anthony Rendon puts it into the Crawford boxes, and the Nationals lead the ballgame 5-2 here in the seventh inning. It's Anthony Rendon's first World Series home run and his second long ball of the postseason.
Talking about being as cool as the other side of the pillow, man. Anthony Rendon he's special.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's fun to watch.
He's fun to watch. He's just so no emotion. Like, sometimes, as much as I like guys who show emotion and kind of are showsmen out there, I also am not afraid to like a guy who gives you nothing.
Yeah.
And that's Anthony Rendon. Double off the wall, go ahead, run. Same guy as a strikeout walking to the dugout. You know what I'm saying? I enjoy that. And his interview after was so ho-hum. It's refreshing to get guys like that sometimes.
He might have been the perfect guy to have up in that spot. After all that controversy, all
great
that
point.
Argument, I think he, in that interview after the game last night, he said something along the lines of, oh, you know what, it helped me. I got to kind of compose myself a little bit, and then I went out there and
he said
just hit a two-run homer in the seventh inning of Game 6 of the World Series.
Like, and it was nothing.
Yeah.
Like it was. I think he said something along the lines of, it gave me a chance to sit down. And that's all he left the answer at that, kind of let you figure out the rest of how it helped. But he would go on, hit that two-run shot that just barely got over the wall in left field, and the Nationals never looked back. Now, we still haven't even talked about the game or Game 7 today, which we will 5:08 start tonight in Houston. You got Max Scherzer going up against Zach Greinke.
Cy Young winners.
Two Cy Young winners. Should be a fantastic game. But the other TMZ moment of the game took place over the course of about seven innings, right? Bregman hits a homer, and I don't know if he got lost, if this was planned. If it was planned, it wasn't executed very well because he got to first base.
It looked kind of clunky.
It looked very clunky. The fact that he had to look back to see what happened to the bat after he dropped it past first base. But he hits a home run. He's running down first base with the bat in hand. First base coach tries to give him some love, and he tries to hand him the bat. Bat falls. It goes past first base. It was just clunky, as AJ said. Fast forward to all the drama that happened. It wasn't forgotten in young Juan Soto's mind because he came up and hit an absolute bomb to right field. And he carried the bat all the way to first base. This time it was executed right. First base coach grabs it. It looks a lot cleaner. He comes in. But that would then start the, oh, wait a minute, this is get back. Now, this is the true definition of let the kids play, right? I mean, these guys are taking bats down first base. And even when Bregman did it in the first inning, they kind of panned over to Altuve, and I believe it was Carlos Correa's face.
I saw Altuve.
And they both kind of had to, like, ooh, I don't know if that was acceptable or not, or if we should be doing that. But then to have Soto follow it up after all of the drama that happened, it just was one of those nights last night.
That's the way you do it. That's the way you get back. You don't throw up and in. You just hit a 440-foot bomb and then drop the bat at first base. I think that's – I personally don't really care what these guys do with their bats after their home runs. I know a lot of people like to get mad about it, and also a lot of people like to get excited about it. I like to get more excited about the fact that Juan Soto is 21 years old, hitting home runs off Justin Verlander to go ahead in the middle
playing
of the World
like
Series.
30.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. And so that's kind of where my focus is, but I just want to get to a point where we're not all that concerned with where he's drawn. I think it's crazy that he's 21. He just hit a homer, probably the biggest homer of his life in a huge game in the World Series. And that's the first thing on his mind. I'm gonna carry the bat and be a little petty, a little vindictive here.
Well, AJ, do you remember being 21?
Oh, yeah. I do, and I wasn't on that stage.
I wasn't on that stage either, but I was definitely petty.
Well, after the game,
I'm still petty at 36.
They asked Juan Soto about it. They're like, "Well, was that a response?" And he said, "Well, I saw him do it earlier, and I thought it looked cool, so I did it too."
That's awesome.
Perfect 21-year-old answer, right?
Do you guys want to hear what Alex Bregman had to say after the game about that?
Well, yeah. Hold up. Before you say that, I thought this was good. Alex Bregman has, you know, if you watch enough Alex Bregman, you know he's very confident in his skills and his play, and he should be. He's probably going to be the MVP in the American League this year.
I don't know. I think it's Trout.
You still think it's Trout?
Yeah, I still think it's
you
Trout.
You and me are like the only people in the world that think that.
I think Trout might win it. Well, it depends on who the voters are, which is kind of weird. But
do we not know who the voters are?
No, we know who they are, but it's like which of the guys that have MVP votes prefer Trout versus Bregman. So, gotcha. I mean, it's different votes for each award, different voters for each award, I should say.
I got you. Now, Alex Bregman is borders the line of cocky and confident, and I thought this was showed some humility last night after the game.
I just let my emotions get the best of me, it's not how I was raised to play the game, and I just let my emotions get the best of me, and I'm sorry for doing that.
I'm sorry. I was just looking up at this interview. Why is he interviewing in front of Steven Strasburg's locker? That's kind of weird.
Max Scherzer?
I don't know.
That is a little strange.
Off topic. But to me, that sounded like a guy that might have been a little bit embarrassed of how that ended up being.
Well, I think if they won the World Series last night, his answer might have been a little bit different.
Yeah, I also said the same thing.
I also, like, okay, he can show contrition, he can be apologetic or whatever, but he let his emotions get the best of him. If there's any time for you to let your emotions get the best of you and kind of for you to ride how you're feeling, it's in Game 6 of the World Series when you hit a home run off Steven Strasburg. So, I mean, you can say what you should do after a home run and what you shouldn't do. I don't care all that much when it's that big of a home run. The times I have issues with it is when a guy pimps a home run in the middle of June when it's a 10-2 game and it just kind of seems out of place. I don't think any of this, you know, you might disagree, I don't think any of this is out of place given the stakes that are happening here.
It's not that I disagree with what you're saying. I just think he recognizes that players view it differently. And
sure.
Ultimately, when it's all said and done for all of these guys, I think their ground is what do my peers think of me as a player? So listen, it's all fair. And, you know, it's all fair when it comes to how you want to do your job. But you ultimately want to leave the game respected by the guys you are competing against. And if you know the guys that you are competing against, a large majority of them look at that like, I mean, his own teammates kind of had that look like,
yeah.
I think that does kind of bring you to a place where, okay, what are the important things to me? Yes, I hit the home run, and it gave us a lead early in the game in a World Series clinching game possibly, but I think he saw a bigger picture, and that's why he felt the need to apologize. Now, I didn't necessarily think he needed to apologize.
Neither did I. Not at all.
I thought that might have been a little too far.
It's Game 6 of the World Series.
Right. You don't need to apologize.
That shouldn't be the focal point for him.
No.
He should be focused on winning Game 7, you know?
No. And I think the fact that he said, I wasn't raised to play the game like that, that made me think of maybe his family that he thought of as he was going around it, which is the only reason why he would say something.
You think he got a text from mom?
He might have got a text from mom or pops. I know my pops would send me a text or something like that for sure. But, you know, ultimately, it was from a fan standpoint, that's what you want to see.
Oh, it was great theater.
It was unbelievable theater.
There were so many good storylines, and that was just one of them. We barely talked about what Strasburg did in the game, some of the interesting pitch tipping things.
Yeah.
Because there were so many other interesting storylines that kind of didn't revolve around the result of the game. Of course, the two home runs played a part. They right. were huge home runs. Right. But, man, that was just good baseball.
We haven't
last night.
Even got to the beautiful defensive lineman work that Dave Martinez pulled out yesterday. Swim moves. He did a bull rush. He kind of broke out the whole repertoire as a defensive lineman. So we're going to get into more of that. Obviously, Game 7 tonight. We got Jerry Harrison Jr. coming up in our next segment. We're going to talk a little bit about last night's game, Game 7 tonight, who he thinks has the edge. This is going to be a baseball-centric show, at least for the first hour and a half.
Game 7 of the World Series.
I can tell you that as much. Don't forget, though, my Lakers got another win yesterday, and Anthony Davis pulled off a 40-20 on them. Don't you ever boo Anthony Davis in his 40-20. Anyway, we got to get to break. When we come back, as I said, Jerry Harrison Jr. will join us. I also have my special guest, AJ Cassavell, here as my second hand today, co-host. Gwen and Chris, we'll see. We'll get right back at you. 97.3, The Fan.
This is Jim Rome with...
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
.334, Tony Gwynn Jr., AJ Cassavell. Wednesday, Game 7.
I love it.
Nats, Astros. It should be a doozy today, man. It should be a good one.
Yeah, I love kind of the pitching strategies going forward with these guys because Scherzer is banged up, as we know, and Greinke hasn't been. I mean, they have Cole in the bullpen. There's a lot going on.
All right. Joining us on Gwen and Chris is my buddy, Jerry Harrison Jr., Sportsnet, what is it? Spectrum Sportsnet LA is what it is. Jerry, how you doing today, brother?
Good, Tony. How you doing?
I'm good. How'd you hit him today? He was on the course last time I spoke with you.
Yeah, I was on the course. You know, it was really windy. Really
windy. Yeah. It was definitely windy.
I played Scott today. We actually tied today.
Oh, you played against your brother?
I did. I played against my brother, Scott. We tied today. He says hello, by the way.
Tell Scotty I said hello. All right, man. Well, let's get right into it. Obviously, there's a Game 7 today. Nice, really good game last night. But obviously the talk is about the controversial play at first base involving Trey Turner. Well, what are your thoughts? As a right-handed hitter, by the way.
Yeah, I think right-handed hitters have a little bit different viewpoint than left-handed batters. Coming down the line, Trey Turner just went straight to the back. And he did everything a right-handed batter would want to do as far as get to the bag as fast as possible. And as he's coming down and reaching for the bag, then – the glove hits him and obviously interferes, at least that's what the umpire thinks, interferes with the throw. But I always thought, obviously, you have to be inside the line as you're running, or at least on the line as you're running, until you reach for the bag. And if you saw Trey turning, as he's reaching for the bag, then he collides with the glove and the ball right there at the same time. So I thought it was a bad call. That's my opinion. First of all, it's a terrible rule.
Yeah.
I think we're all on the same page as far as terrible. The rule is concerned.
And I think it was disappointing when they went back and looked at replay. Everybody assumed they were just looking at the replay, but they weren't doing that. They were going back and seeing if they could, if that play could be reviewable. It's unfortunate. It's just kind of a thing that, in an incredible Game 6, I think Rendon bailed them out.
Oh yeah,
I'm so glad that the Nationals end up winning the ball game, because if they would have lost that ball game, wow, that would have been a huge black eye for the game of baseball.
Yeah, I'm really glad that's not what we're talking about today in terms of why the Astros won the World Series. I think we can talk all day about whether it's a bad call. Like you said, everyone agrees that it's a bad rule. So my next question would be, how do they change this? I assume this is something that's going to get looked at in the offseason. What should it be to prevent this thing from happening in the future?
The one thing they can't do is have two bags. I've heard it's kind of like Little League. You have one bag here and then the other bag. You can't do that.
Why not?
I just think it looks tacky. I think it would look embarrassing. This is not Little League. So what you can do is maybe change the line a little bit.
Okay.
Make it further inside. Of the bag, but they have to be addressed. Either way, the rule has to be addressed. It has to be clear on what happens if the runner collides with the first baseman. It has to be very, very clear.
All right, so let's go to the other TMZ moment of the game last night. What were your feelings about the Alex Bregman Juan Soto situation? I think a lot of people were locked in on that, especially after Juan Soto one-upped him later in the game.
Well, first of all, you know, I'm a huge Alex Bregman fan. I'm a huge Soto fan as well. And Soto gets a free pass because all he did was imitate Bregman.
Right.
And I actually loved it. I thought it was kind of a little bit petty, but I tell you what, that was absolutely the right play. And I'm so glad Soto did that because all he did was imitate Bregman.
You know,
if you did that, you're going to do that to my pitcher. I'm going to do it to your pitcher. I'm going to hit it 550 feet. And I'm going to do it as well. So I loved it. Do I want to see players carry their bat all the way down to first base, hand to the first base coach? Of course not.
Right.
But it was in the heat of battle. I know Bregman expressed remorse for doing it.
He did.
So bad. And I've always liked him as a player. He's just an incredible player. It's the World Series. These guys are young guys, are excitable. But I thought it was fun and entertaining last night.
You know what's funny, and you'll like this, Jerry. I got a text from Prince and Ricky Weeks. Both Ricky said that was awesome, and everybody was the whole text chain just lit up after Juan Soto did it, because I think everybody else is thinking the way to get back is not to throw a pitch up and in at somebody's head; it's to do one up them and do the same thing.
If anybody would have done it, definitely Big Prince would have done that. He may have carried the bat to third base coach.
He might have did the Pedro Serrano and took it all the way around.
Prince probably would have done that. Carried to the third base coach to one-up him. Listen, it's entertainment. I don't think Bregman tried to show up Strasburg, and I know Strasburg didn't care for it. And I totally agree with Steve Strasburg. If I would have saw Bregman do that, I'm like, dude, what are you doing? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But that is the ultimate way to get the other team back. And I'm telling you, Tony, you know this. Being in the dugout, you don't think that Bregman having the bat given it to the first base coach, you don't think that fired up the Nationals there?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure he heard some not-so-kind words coming around third base.
Absolutely. I really believe it lit a fire on the Nationals. And I think kind of helped them a little bit. Okay, you know what? They think they're going to mock us a little bit here in their ballpark. We're going to find a way to get back at them and find a way to score a lot of runs. And then Soto did the right thing, hit about 550 feet, and then passed the baton to his system.
Yeah, it helps when you have Juan Soto. Do you have any sense of where the series is going now? It's been a weird one. The road team's winning all six games, and Scherzer obviously pushed back to today's start, dealing with some injuries, Greinke going tonight. Do you have any sense of what we might see in Game 7?
I'm going with the team with the road field advantage.
Okay, that's a new thing, huh?
I'm going with the Nationals. I think they will find a way to get it done. You know, Zach Greinke, listen, he's not the Zach Greinke of, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. He's not going to pump 95, 96. I'm really anxious to see the second time around how the National hitters react to them. I think they might get to him a little bit. But, again, Zach, I know him very well. He might keep them in the ball game. But you got to figure that the Nationals, you know, having Scherzer – on full rest, obviously, being skipped over his previous start. I think he's healthy. I think he's going to pitch an excellent ball game. I think it's going to be one of the great games, game sevens. And I think the Nationals find a way to win 5-4.
Jerry, real quick before we let you get out of here, what were your thoughts on Steven Strasburg last night? He was truly terrific, other than the first inning in which he was tipping his pitches, apparently.
Cha-ching. Everybody's talking about Gerrit Cole. How he's going to get a boatload of money, and Gerrit Cole is going to break the bank, and rightfully so. Good for him. So is Steven Strasburg. He would be crazy not to opt out of his contract.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to be his agent, and I know Scott Boras has done an excellent job representing his clients for many, many years, so I think he's very excited having Steven Strasburg out there and hit the open market, and he's going to deserve every penny. He has been outstanding. As good a postseason pitcher as we've seen in the game. And he just shows the type of person, player he is. He wants the ball. He wants the big stage. And Tony, you know him very, very well. He's that dude.
Yes.
He's that dude. And it's good to see him perform at a high level.
No doubt about it. Jerry, as always, my brother, thank you for coming on and talking some baseball with us, man. Enjoy the links tomorrow. I'm sure you'll be back out there.
I'll be back out there tomorrow, but first game seven. Can't wait to watch the seventh game of the World Series tonight.
All right, Jerry, take care, man. Thank you.
Take care.
Jerry Harrison Jr., Spectrum Sportsnet LA. He's right, man. This is Strasburg is going to make a lot of money.
Yep.
One way or the other. Scott Boras is somewhere. Well, he's always somewhere smiling because all his guys make a whole lot of money. It seems
he's going to have a busy offseason.
he is. Especially, I mean, he's got like the ultimate leverage. He's got both of those guys, right? I think Cole is.
Yeah, and Rendon too.
Oh, so he's got the top three. That's very typical of Scotty B out there. All right. We got some phone lines available. 833-288-0973. Gwen versus the fan. I'm actually holding my own. I thought I would be brutal at this. But today, your lifeline is back.
Yes.
AJ Cassavale is here. He will be, you know, being the lifeline for you guys if you need it.
I'm one for one as lifeline.
You are. That's what I heard.
He pulled out one of the craziest answers I think we've ever had during Chris vs. the Fans, Gwen vs. the Fans, whatever, because we asked him what is the only team not to play an international game, and he just said, the Packers. We're like, oh my gosh, you got it. It was a third question.
I didn't say it that confidently. No. I did not say it with that confidence.
You said,
it's like the Packers?
Yeah.
I said, I thought Aaron Rodgers. I don't remember Aaron Rodgers ever being in London, so that's why I went with the Packers.
That's true. See, sometimes you got to think outside the box a little bit. Not necessarily about the game, but star players in that situation. A pair of tickets to see the San Diego State Aztecs take on Nevada for homecoming on Saturday, November 9th. Is the prize if you can take me down and win versus a fan. Without further ado, let's get to it.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself,
Pickles,
now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Gwen
versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All righty. Scraby, why don't you give us the rules?
Number one, everybody says that they think my voice is really like, I sucked in some helium before I did that.
You kind of said...
Did I really do that? I don't know.
It doesn't sound that high, I don't think.
All right, good. Well, the rules are you have to make it through three questions. Each question is going to get more difficult as you go along. If you get the question right, you move on to the next question. If you get the question wrong and Tony gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Tony gets it wrong, you move on to the next question. Or if you're on the third question, you win. That's it.
All right.
Let's go to our first caller, Eddie. Eddie, how are you doing today?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. All right. Remember, you have your lifeline, AJ Cassavale, but you can only use him once. So use the lifeline wisely. Let me get the questions up over here, and let's get going. All right, Eddie. Where did Odell Beckham Jr. play college football?
Odell? Probably University of Maryland.
That is incorrect. Tony? Can you name where Odell Beckham Jr. played college football?
I can.
Where?
Louisiana State University.
You are correct. Sorry, Eddie.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. All right, let's go over to Chief, who I believe Chief was the one who called me out for my Reese's last night, not having M&Ms in it. Is this the same Chief?
Oh, this is the same Chief. Gravy, you've lost credibility on the candy recommendation.
Indeed,
This is not true. This is not true. The Almond Joy was actually in the hallway. People told me it was great, but this is not what we're doing.
It's the most mediocre candy that exists.
Mediocre, AJ says.
All right, let's get to it, Chief. Chief, what is the nickname for the stadium the Florida Gators football team plays its home games in?
A swamp.
You are correct. Nice job. Remember, you have AJ Cassavale as your lifeline. Here is question number two. What NBC broadcaster famously got pink eye during the Winter Olympics in Sochi?
What?
Ooh, I can see him. He had double pink eye.
He did.
The name... I'm going to have to ask AJ to jump in on this one.
All right, AJ?
I have no idea.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't remember him broadcasting with pink eye?
No, it was NBC.
NBC.
Is it Bob Costas? I don't know.
You are correct.
Oh!
Wow. There we go.
You were like the best lifeline of all time. So, well, Chief, you were still alive. Well, that's okay. You still got it right. Chief is still alive. We're going to the third question. If you get this question right, you win the Aztec tickets when they take on Nevada in a couple weeks. Here we go. What NBA team has had the most NBA MVP winners?
Tough one. I'm just gonna go Lakers.
The Lakers is incorrect, but stay there. Tony could get this, and if he doesn't get this, you win the prize. Tony, do you know which NBA team has had the most NBA MVP winners? That's really hard to say.
Unfortunately for Chief, I do know this.
Wow.
Because it's the Lakers' rival, the Celtics.
Oh.
Tony is correct. Sorry, Chief. You get what you deserve, right, though, for making fun of my Almond Joy.
Chief, we're on the same team.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
All right, here we go. Next up is Mark. Mark, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good. Remember, AJ Cassavell is your lifeline, and he is 2 for 2 in his lifeline career. So let's get to this first question.
Is that really a career?
That is
lifeline
a career. Yeah.
This small is sample size.
It's a statistic. Mark, how old is Juan Soto?
He can legally drink. He's 21.
You are correct.
21 Savage, as he's referred to on Twitter.
21 in like 4 days, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, 4 days. All right, go. Question number 2. Remember, you have AJ as your lifeline. Let's go with this. What is the lowest 18-hole score in PGA Tour history?
You're going to be all right on this one, Mark.
All right, no need for the lifeline.
Oh, I like how he's doing that. Need an
I'm
answer?
I'm going to go 63.
You are incorrect. Stay there. Tony, do you know what the lowest score in PGA Tour history for an 18-hole score?
I don't. I'm going to say 25.
25? I mean, that means you got a hole-in-one on like almost every hole.
You asked me. I told you I wasn't going to be able to get this one.
Okay, you're still alive, Mark.
Thank you.
Is it 58?
It is 58. Jim Furyk did it at the BMW Championship a few years ago. So, really good, AJ. All right, Mark, here we go. You could win the prize right here if you get this right. You still have your lifeline. Let's do it. You know why?
I wasn't thinking in terms. I was thinking score. That's why I said.
Oh, below par? Yeah. 25? Yeah, that sounds.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense, but that's still pretty crazy. All right, here we go, Mark. Question number 3 for those Aztec tickets. The New York Yankees have won 27 titles. How many times have they lost the World Series? Is Mark still there? Oh, there he is.
I'm still here. I don't know if I should go with AJ. I'm gonna take a guess here.
You got your lifeline there now. Just to throw it out there. But I guess if you're gonna go out on your own time.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm gonna say 8.
8 is incorrect. Tony, do you know how many times the Yankees have lost the World Series?
I've seen this number before. I just can't remember exactly what it is. I'm going to say... Oh, gosh, was it 13 or 14? I want to say it's 14. I'm going to go 14.
Final answer.
Final answer.
Should have gone with your first answer.
It was 13.
You are incorrect. That means Mark is the winner of the Aztec tickets when they take on Nevada in a few weeks. It was 13. They've played in 40 World Series. That is insane.
That's
out of how
crazy.
Many? What is this one? Like the 107th or something like that World Series?
Or 1903 was the first one. So yeah, this will be the 110th-ish.
Oh my gosh! And the Yankees have been there 40 times. All right, Mark, get on. Stay on
That's
hold.
Crazy.
Thomas is going to get your information.
Overpowering.
No shot.
Mount Carmel overpowering, baby.
We have a Mount Carmel fan here. So, all right. Well, good stuff, Tony.
He probably went to Mount Carmel.
Yeah, I would think those Sun Devils.
Sun Devils.
Yeah.
Game 7, still a little over an hour away, hour and a half away. 5:08 start in Houston. Greinke versus Scherzer. Scherzer coming off of
not being able to dress himself 3 days ago, and he's going to pitch a game seven. This can you write this stuff?
No, and this is a really fun pitching matchup between the teams, storylines with the road teams in the series. I kind of have a theory that I've been kicking around in my head that I haven't actually verbalized out loud. Is baseball easier, or are sports getting easier to play on the road now, given kind of some of the more comforts that the teams are afforded in professional sports now, maybe as opposed to they were 20 years ago? And I guess some of the way technology's changed things in terms of making being on the road feel homier?
That's a good question. I would tend to say no, because I think we're just looking at...
Yeah, it's just one random
one
thing.
One of those crazy... Because I've always thought, especially going all the way back to like 04, 03, 04 when the Astros got to the World Series, I remember them playing, and I know the Cardinals ended up getting them in that one game with Pujols goes off the wall there, but it's one of the loudest places to play in baseball. And I think back, and I know, again, the road team has won every game here, but you don't get too many stadiums like that in the game of baseball. There's very few, it seems like, that get up and get excited like you see Houston's crowd
does. I think the reverse of that is if the Nationals come out and score a couple runs early, like we saw in the 2017 Game 7 at Dodger Stadium, all of a sudden the stadium gets tense, and it starts to it might go in the opposite direction when you know what the fans should be doing and when they're not maybe on their feet cheering with every pitch.
That's the hard part about baseball versus basketball, right? Your team could be down 18 in basketball. Fans can feel momentum changing. It's a little bit harder, and when you do have momentum, it seems like it lasts longer, right? So, for instance, the Dodgers, when Houston came in Game 7 in 2017, they pretty much sucked the life out of that stadium
right away.
And the fans are watching the same game. So they're looking at it like, man, it's just, they can't even get themselves up to start maybe trying to change things a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Seems like in basketball, it's just a little bit easier to hang on.
It might be different tonight, too, though, because I think Dodger team, there are a lot of people at Dodger Stadium felt like that was the team, and then all of a sudden, with two outs in the first inning, they're realizing, uh-oh, this isn't the team.
This isn't going well.
The Astros have their World Series, and their fan base has a history of being loud in these spots, and it'll be rocking tonight.
It's going to definitely be rocking. Both of these teams exemplify what it is to be the best in their respective leagues, especially the way they've played baseball in this postseason.
Let's get that keyword.
Keyword today! This hour's Grand Slam giveaway keyword is something I enjoy almost every day. Smoothie!
You certainly do enjoy a smoothie every day.
Text SMOOTHIE to the number 72881 for your chance to win a share of $160,000 in the Fans National Cash Contest. Message and data rates apply. Good luck from 97.3 The Fan. All right, we're going to step away, pay some bills. When we come back, we can focus on really guy who has a chance to be an MVP of this series based on maybe Juan Soto plays tonight in this game, and if they win.
Yeah, it's a fun discussion.
It is.
Because no one's been better than Strasburg.
No, nobody has. There's been a lot of talk of a lot of different pitchers in this postseason. Cole, Verlander, Kershaw, Walker, Strasburg, Scherzer. Strasburg's been kind of been the afterthought, but yet he's been the best one of them all. We'll get to it when we come back. Gwen and Chris, 97.3, The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.